Just would like to ask us to turn to Psalm 118. Kind of an interesting idea and thought on what to look at this evening. I think we're going to start reading at verse 14 and read through the end of the psalm there. Looking at this is the verses that a couple of the young men learned. Aaron and Drew learned some of these. But actually, I want to look at an awful lot of the verses, especially the Old Testament verses that were part of the pieces this year. Because I think at Christmas time, we often think only of the baby. And we memorize and read the prophecies of a baby born in a manger. And the Bible promises and Christ fulfills far more than that. So we've learned perhaps a little different verses than we often do, but certainly verses that speak to the coming of our Savior and to what our Savior came to this world to do. So let us read from Psalm 118, beginning at verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastised me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Indeed, as we come before God, and as we seek to consider the coming of our Savior, this is the attitude we have as Christians at Christmas. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord has become my salvation. We rejoice in salvation accomplished, that the God who promised from the very fall of man, from in the midst of the curse, promised that the serpent would bruise our Savior's heel, but that the Savior would bruise the serpent's head, that this Savior has come, has given his life. And that's what those later verses speak to. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The world rejects Christ. Even as John says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. And he came to his own people and they rejected him. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The place around which the whole of the world turns. The most important stone is our Savior. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We live in a new day as we consider the coming of the Savior. The world is changed. We sing that in Christmas carols. No more let sin and sorrow rule, nor thorns infest the ground. Because of the coming of our Savior, because of what he came to do, the curse is lifted. Not that we experience that entirely in this world, but we experience it as we look forward to the day of heaven, as we rejoice in the coming of the Savior. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I said these later voices point very much. We remember verse 26 as it is quoted on Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from where? from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. When this was quoted on Palm Sunday, they were talking about a national king. But they had forgotten the context. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Christ came here to die. And so I want to look just at a few of the passages, some of which we looked at, some of which we didn't have said for us in pieces this evening. We think of Christ's preexistence. The second person of the Trinity that became man is eternal God before anything else was created. He was not created. The Bible says that He is the only begotten Son of the Father. Now, we do not fully understand what that means. He was certainly not created. He was before all things, and in fact, one of the young children told us that He created all things. He was over the waters with the Father and the Spirit at creation. And we heard Sunday concerning Bethlehem Ephrathah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. That's Micah 5, verse 2. And we have the promise of Christ's coming, His incarnation, that He became man like us, is clear from the Old Testament prophecies. We heard a while ago from Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. By the way, we heard African Noel played for us a little while. Do you know what Noel means? Again, God among us is what Noel means. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, we heard as well, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah 9, verse 6. His coming is certainly so important, and we celebrate that at Christmas. We think also of our Savior, who did not lift up His voice, His meekness. He did not cry out nor raise His voice is also clear from the Scriptures. That's Isaiah 42, verse 2. And of course, Isaiah 53, which speaks to so many of these things. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. Our Savior did not need to raise His voice. As Almighty God, He could have always called 10,000 angels, and yet He did not, because His purpose was to come to this world to give that gift that we echo with our gifts at Christmas. He gave His life so that we would have life. And Christ is a prophet after the pattern of Moses. Moses, we are told, God spoke to him face to face, not like other prophets where a prophet would have a dream or a vision. Moses again and again spoke to God face to face. And we read in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. Of course, Christ is far greater than Moses, and yet Moses prefigures him among many other people in the Old Testament. We have the promise of Christ's rejection. Isaiah 8, verse 14. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Again, we think of Him rejected, despised, and yet He came into this world for that purpose, to give Himself for us, His suffering. Again, Isaiah 53 speaks to this. Verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, And by his stripes we are healed. His resurrection, we heard Psalm 16, verse 11, that Christ would rise as we will, and that he would receive joy of eternal life. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we also heard from Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If we had read the earlier verses in Psalm 118, we understand that Christ is not only our Savior, he is also our defender. And so he strikes down and he fights for his people. And we rejoice that all of his enemies will be put under his feet. And we hear concerning his government, his righteousness, that he is perfectly righteous. We can't even as human beings imagine that, because we are so stained with sin. What seems so amazing is it seems that Mary and Joseph did not even recognize in him his perfection. Of course, he never sinned. And yet Mary and Joseph did not realize that fact. He was, for many intents and purposes, a normal child. And so for them, it was difficult to think of him as different. And yet he was. Of course, he came into this world and he did not fail to be perfectly righteous all of his life, because that had to be so that we could be saved. Because Jesus not only died on our behalf, he lived perfectly in our place. And we're told that righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist, Isaiah 11, verse 1. Psalm 45, verse 7, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. And concerning specifically his righteous government, because he rules, as Psalm 2 says, the nations with a rod of iron. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the world. And so, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Christmas, certainly we celebrate the birth of a baby. And we rejoice in the telling of Luke chapter 2. Thank you, young people, who brought some of that for us this evening. We rejoice in the coming of the Savior. And he is a Savior that is not only just a baby. He is a Savior who is the ruler of the world. And we praise God that he came into this world to save us. And he rules all things, as Paul says, to the good of those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, to the purposes of his church. He directs everything for the good of his people. And so, as we sang a while ago, we do not need to fear. We do not need to be afraid. In the things of this world, whether it be 2020 with all the issues we've had this year, or possibly the coming of 2021, and who knows what's going to happen then. We can trust in God, because he gave the most important gift we could ever get. He gave his Son to save sinners. He gave his Son to give us life. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, how shall he not with him also freely give us every good gift? So even in the hard times, we do not need to fear and worry. We can have hope and confidence and trust in God. He has given the most important gift, and he will provide us with everything necessary for soul and body every day, throughout this year, throughout the rest of our lives. and beyond and above that, eternally. We have a Savior who has been prophesied, the fulfillment of prophecy. He came into this world. He was and is all of these things so that you and I might have eternal life. So let us rejoice and celebrate in the coming of our Savior as we celebrate Christmas. Amen.